WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken, Not Haughty. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the Rack, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can laugh, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on not that channel, almost said the wrong channel, RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free Twitch Prime sub, which I do, by the way, I'm going to use it right now because I'm going to hit the little purple button at the bottom of the screen and I'm going to say, you know what, subscribe for free with my free subscription with Twitch Prime. It's that easy, chat. It's that easy. That's all you have to do. One button and you're subscribed for 30 days for free. But, you know, if you don't have Twitch Prime or you've already used your free sub, that's fine. You're welcome to subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, or just lurk in the chat. We're happy to have you. Everybody here is welcome. And if you're in a following mood, you're welcome to follow my channel, twitch.tv/LynnsWard, same as my Twitter. And, you know, check all that out. And hey, look, it's my 5-month sub anniversary, everybody. 5 months subscribing to the channel. Go me! Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I'm waiting for the sound to get through as you hit the button.
It's very delayed, but there is a sound, we promise.
Did you share it, your sub? She's trying to figure out if she shared it or not.
I'm being an asshole. Hold on.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lynn's Work, on the WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, right here at Twitch.tv/WTRLive. Do all the things. Tonight, we are previewing the horror show that is Extreme Rules. Oh, yeah.
It's Boots to Asses time!
Hey, thanks to Lynn's Ward for subbing for 5 straight months. She is better than Brent. She has Twitch Prime.
I'm going to get yelled at later for that, but I don't care. I really don't.
But before we get into Extreme Rules and NXT, we have news to get into, which is presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
How am I a mod? I made here. Not the network, but this show. I made here. I made it. It's mine. I can mod my own damn show. Damn it.
I mean, Brett, you're VIP. I can take your VIP away if you don't want your VIP.
Actually, how is Brent not a mod?
Because he's VIP.
But how is he not a mod?
Because we don't need that many mods right now. He's not a host. He doesn't need mod.
I mean, technically he's a host.
Technically.
He doesn't know shows. He's an alt at this point. He's an alternate host.
He's an intern.
So, I mean, shouldn't he be a mod? Shouldn't that be part of his duties?
No. No, it's okay.
But think of all the trolling he could do. He could have so much fun.
But him and Tim go back and forth, and you know, that just doesn't end up well.
It's Boots to Asses time!
Thanks for the sub, Matt!
Hey look, Brent's now sub 2 months in a row.
Because he's a slacker.
Anyway, let's get into the news.
Brought to you by our friends over at Gerwerk Donut. By the way, we're doing News Notes NXT. We are talking Extreme Rules!
No, you're wrong.
It's
the horror show at Extreme Rules.
Horror show was in quotations.
But it's a horror show at Extreme Rules. That's how it goes. That's the moniker. You know, like how WrestleMania was just too big for one night. This is the horror show at Extreme Rules.
Okay, I can't hold this in because I've held this in for like 2 weeks now. Why the hell are we doing a horror show in July?
Why not?
It's too hot for that shit.
Here. But in Australia, it's cold.
But here, it's hot.
But Australia's...
You're doing this in Florida. It's like the surface of the sun with 2,000% humidity. You walk outside and you're drenched.
Or death.
And not in the fun way.
Or death. So, horror. There you go.
Again, why are we doing a horror show in July? Wouldn't have that been better served for, I don't know,
October? Because of the thing. That's why.
The thing's still going to be going on in October.
We might have more there then. We may have another horror show in October in the cell. I don't know.
I mean, honestly, 2020 is just a horror show in and of itself.
It is.
We're just all trapped in it.
I mean, it is. It happens. Things in the world are happening, and we get to talk about them, whether we like it or not.
Yep. Yay. And speaking of things, we do have to have one update, and that is that unfortunately Rusev did confirm that he was or is positive for coronavirus. We don't know if he still is or at this time, but it was unfortunate that he was not the only one affected in the family. Lana's parents also both contracted the disease. As far as we know, Lana's mother is home. There is no update on her father, but Lana seems to be okay. She's fine, but unfortunately, and Rusev and her parents all got it.
And Rusev seems to be fine as well. He just announced that he had tested positive for it. So it's like you can test positive and you're still fine. He just, you know, because her parents got it, he went and probably got tested. That's her parents. Had a lot more trouble with it.
Yeah, her mother ended up having to go into the hospital, so she was having a lot of complications. But it's good to know that she's home, and she's going to be okay, and she's going to be fine. So go, Mama Lana, crush the Rona.
Also, in a coronavirus update, apparently QT Marshall of AEW fame contracted the coronavirus after being involved meeting someone who had the disease. So he tested positive. He's been away from the company, as they announced a couple weeks ago. But, so, guess that's why there's no pitchforks.
Guess so.
Because, everyone else throws pitchforks around when the WWE has stuff, but not the demo crew.
He's not better. Anyway, moving on. WWE, speaking of, is donating or giving or presenting, I'm not sure how that works, handing over, I guess, 100 plus hours of content to the Peacock Network. So you will get WWE content with that subscription. So everybody can look forward to that. There's no confirmation on what the content will be.
There is. We have ideas. We have updates.
Oh, we have updates. Oh, good. Oh, good. What are the updates?
We have more than 100 hours of WWE content coming in August 2020, including WWE Untold compilations like John Cena's best WrestleMania matches and Steve Austin's Broken Skull Sessions will be available in the sports offering of the Peacock Network starting in August. Peacock, now available. If you have Comcast, it's free.
So I can get 100 hours of WWE content for free. Woo! Because I have Comcast.
Yep. Peacock has like 30 Rock and a few other NBC old shows and stuff like that. So
they are getting Downton Abbey.
They are.
I'm very excited. And even though I have it on like 13 devices that I can watch it at any point I want, it's just one more place that I can binge watch Downton Abbey, and I'm very happy about that. Very, very, very happy.
So there you go.
So you watch this, so I'm going to let you talk about this, but R-Truth is out there making his own content because he has his own game show.
Y'all, y'all need to go watch the R-Truth game show on the WWE Network. It is awesome. It's R-Truth. He's weird. He's strained. He doesn't always remember things. You need to watch the show. That's all I gotta say. So yeah, it's basically, he does trivia, scavenger hunts, wrestlers at their homes because you can't, you know, physically interact. And he keeps track of the score and randomly gives out points. It's fun. It's just, go watch it. But it's available now on the WWE Network. You can handle that if you would want in the chat. Maybe.
Maybe.
She's not going to acknowledge it in the chat. Okay.
What do you mean I'm not going to acknowledge it in the chat?
Did you see what was said in chat?
You've never watched it, Brent. How would you know? Although I will say the last season was like shit because they just kind of rushed it and they just didn't really do Mary right at all in that. Okay, I'm going to go on a rant for a second. So you know what? I'm just going to say this. Even Napier got so screwed in that show, spoilers. Like, he probably would have been really right for Mary, and they probably should have ended up together, but no. She marries the hotshot Otto guy who she's never with, apparently. Like, they never see each other, because that's the foundation of a good marriage. And, yeah. This is after her, again, spoilers, first husband, dies in a car crash, and he's a race car, and she marries a race car driver. And they're just like, you just have to get over the fact that he died in a car crash. How do you just get over that? You don't. You don't just get over that and be fine with it. Okay, Brent, I'm going to tell you this. Downton Abbey probably inspired some of Total Bellas, because apparently Nikki Bella is a fan of the show. So, you know. But yeah, even Napier got screwed. He deserved better.
So speaking of the WWE Network, coming this Sunday on the WWE.
No, I want to talk about it. I want to tell it. I'm getting more Taker.
Can I now say it?
Yes, now you can say it.
Speaking of the WWE Network, this Sunday, the series The Undertaker and The Last Ride returns with The Undertaker, The Last Ride, Tales from the Dead Man, narrated by Emmy-nominated actor and producer Timothy Olyphant. I don't know how to pronounce it. Anyway, you'll have incredible behind-the-scenes anecdotes from the man himself. As Undertaker recalls stories about the origins of his character, his experiences on an infamous plane ride, and even the time he fought the Godfather over a hat, all accompanied by never-before-seen animation. Don't miss the return of The Undertaker to The Last Ride as Tales from the Dead Man premieres Sunday, streaming immediately following the horror show at WWE Extreme Rules, only on the WWE Network.
I shudder to think of how much alcohol it would take to get The Undertaker drunk. The question in chat, or the statement in chat, is we need a drunk history with The Undertaker.
Yes.
I mean, yes, absolutely, we need that, but I just don't even want to know how much alcohol it would take to get that man wasted. I'm picturing a 12-pack. Minimum to get that man drunk. But this makes me so happy that they're going to give us the content, some of the content that was not in the show, because I will fully take Mark Calloway being a dork in my life more. Like, I'm here for this. I just hope it's like the happier stories and it's not some of the sad stuff, because like some of that stuff there, like in the, I think it was the third or fourth episode, got really, really hard. It's like, oh, honey, it's like, come here. But no, I hope it's like more funny stories. I hope there's outtakes. I really want outtakes from the series that they couldn't fit in or didn't make sense, or just him being an idiot with his friends. Also, I am, by the way, wearing my Mean Mark Callis shirt that came in the mail this week. Yay! It's very comfy. I would recommend ordering one of your choice. It doesn't have to be Mr. Callis. It can be Terror Rising or Isaac Yankum, or any of the other ones that are available on WWEshop.com. Not sponsored, not an ad, but they're very comfortable, so I would highly recommend buying. But yes, more Taker content. Woo! That will give me something to watch. Also, this is me, but the more that I see, the more I want them to do like a table for two with Taker and Glenn Kane. Mm-hmm. And the two of them just sit there. They can have a moderator, I don't care. And they just sit there and swap stories and just talk.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
Like, I actually would love if they could get Austin to, like, sit down with the two of them and just have them swap stories and talk about the good old days and all of that. Because I feel like that would be really, really cool. Because those two have a friendship that's so cool.
He doesn't need to be done with politics to sit down and do an interview for an hour.
No, he's done interviews.
He does
interviews. He did Austin.
He did Austin's thing. He does interviews all the time. An hour out of his day, you book it well in advance.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he's very busy right now, so you do have to, you know, make a reservation for his time. But I'm fairly sure, yeah, if you want to talk wrestling with him, he probably would be interested in talking. If you're a big enough platform, or you're us. You can go listen to our Kane interview in the archives, by the way. I almost passed out, because I'm special like that. But yeah, anyway, there is more Undertaker content coming to the network, and, you know, maybe that's how I'll recover from the horror show. I don't know. We'll see, but we're going to take our first break of the evening.
No, we're not.
What do you mean? Oh, right, we're not, because we're going to talk NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
There's a sheet that's right in front of her face that shows the information of what we're doing.
Actually, technically, I don't have the sheet up right now.
That's her problem. Anyway, we're talking NXT. It was a fun show last night.
It was a very fun show last night.
So Keith Lee came out, opened the show, and he's thanking the WWE Universe and everyone, his old trainer, Tim Brooks. And then he wanted to talk to his frenemy, Dominik Dijakovic.
They are not frenemies. They are just friends.
He called him his frenemy.
They're friends. You don't jump up on somebody's back like that all excited after they won a title and not be friends.
But you could be. That's why they're a frenemy.
They're not frenemies. That's not how frenemies act.
What's the definition of a frenemy? Anyway, Dominik Dijakovic came out. They're talking. And Keith Lee talked about how he talked to Mr. Regal. And he said he get to pick who he wants to be the first challenger for, not one, but these two championships right here. Well, Keith Lee says, I'm in my gear, so I think we should wrestle tonight. And Dijakovic's like, Keith Lee, just one word, say yes. And he did. It was a good promo.
It was a really good promo. It set up a really nice match, too, between the two, which they can't have a bad match. Let's all be real. But yeah, this was extremely solid. I like this a lot.
And Damian Priest battled Cameron Grimes.
Well, we have to talk about what happened after the match before we talk about what happened in the Cameron Grimes match.
Okay, go ahead.
So Murder Mom turned up.
No, we're not there yet.
Oh, we're not there yet?
No, we're
But I want to talk about Murder Mom. Can we just talk about her?
No, you have to wait.
Damn it.
You have to wait. Talk about Damian Priest and Cameron Grimes.
This was a good match. This was a very good match. Cameron put his finger somewhere in Damian Priest that shouldn't have been there.
Okay. What? Apparently it's a thing. Thank you for the match where you finger your... I don't know. When I watched it live, I didn't see it happen, but I was sent a video.
There was apparently slow-mo video of
slow-mo video of an incident with fingers and in a certain...
I think he missed.
He got close.
But, I think he maybe got a little too overexcited or slowed down or whatever. It just looks weird.
It looked really weird, but his fingers got close to a certain area.
Wrestling?
Anyway, Damien Priest got the win.
Maybe it was the mesh pants.
Maybe.
Cameron couldn't handle the mesh pants.
Maybe. Shotzi Blackheart took on Indy Hartwell.
With a little help from Robert Stone and Aaliyah, who got their revenge on Shotzi for running Robert over with a tank last week. The match itself was pretty good. It was pretty solid. And then Aaliyah and Robert Stone showed up, caused the distraction, and allowed Indy to get the win.
Mm-hmm. We then had an interesting sit-down with Santos Escobar.
In his house.
Mm-hmm.
In what we assume is his house. It's very nice.
It was a very nice video, and it's like a nice sit down of sort of explaining who they are and the group and what they're all about. I enjoyed it.
I'm kind of into like just doing videos in wrestlers' houses of promos just so we get to see their houses like we did the NFL draft. I feel like this would be beneficial to everybody. They'll never do it, but you know.
Should mention Tegan Knox was interviewed on this night about how she wants to be seen as a legend like Molly Holly. and Kane.
She still loves Kane.
She does. All right, Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic for the NXT North American and the NXT Championships. Really good match. Keith Lee retained. Go.
So, Murder Mom, and if you don't know who Murder Mom is, that is my affectionate name for Scarlett Bordeaux, came out looking all badass, and she had a bag with her. And it's, well, what's in the bag? What's in the bag?
What's in the bag?
So she walks up to the edge of the ring. Dominik is behind Keith, watching Keith's back, which I don't think would do much good, because if somebody wanted to show up and commit a felony, he probably could. Anyway, Scarlett takes the bag and she empties the contents into the ring. It's the smashed hourglass. Time's up for Keith Lee. Carrion wants a shot. And we see her walk away with Keith Lee being like, all right, come on, send him. Send him. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do this. And then later, in the back, after this is over, we see Karrion and Dominik fighting. And Karrion Kross did something that should be made entirely illegal because we got Murder Dad. So, one, I respect a man that can kick somebody's ass in a suit. Fully respect a man that can do that. Because not everybody can. You think it wouldn't be hard, but apparently it's hard. Anyway, he rips off his tie and he angrily undoes his cuffs, and the internet fandom implodes because it's like, holy shit, that was unnecessary but awesome at the same time. And then he just proceeds to continue to beat up on Dominik. So he's getting one problem out of the way so he can get to Keith Lee and get to Keith Lee's titles. I will say this, I hope, one, this was really all really, really good and really well put together, but two, I hope every time Keith Lee defends, it's not both titles. I'm not a fan of the winner take all because that doesn't accomplish anything. So I hope in the future it's one or the other.
Or both in the same night, just two different matches.
Or it's like a three-way, or it's like a four-way if it's both, or something like that, where there's a chance that you're not going to end up with a double champion.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Or there's less of a chance that it could happen.
Mm-hmm. Timothy Thatcher defeated Denzel Dejeuner.
Brant, if they put Karrion Kross in a tuxedo match, I know multiple people that would die from that. It would be illegal. It shouldn't happen. But it should totally happen. Anyway, I'm sorry, what?
Timothy Thatcher won. Quick little match.
Go, Timothy!
Robert Strone was trying to apologize to Killian Dane for pouring coffee on him, and then Aaliyah came up with a brawling that Dexter put together, and, well, it apparently angered Killian.
And we're going to have Dexter and Killian this week on NXT. But the best part was when Killian was like beating up Robert Stone. Aaliyah's just standing there and her face sells everything. She's like, oh my god, what's going on? I shouldn't be here right now, but I am. Super awkward. Super, super awkward.
Then in your main event, Io Shirai put the title on the line, NXT Women's title on the line against Tegan Nox. Really good matchup, really strong showing for Tegan, but in the end, Io Shirai retained. I enjoyed this one, really, really much so.
This is a really fantastic showing for both women. This was nice and long. I love the hell out of this. I will take women's like matches like this all the time. Tegan can make it up. Right now, you need to make sure, in terms, LeMann said, not sure if I agree with the clean loss. Tegan will make it up, and right now you need to make sure that just Io looks super, super strong.
It's not Tegan's time yet, despite what we want from her. It's not her time yet.
They'll get her there, or she'll go to the main roster because, I shouldn't keep saying main roster, but she'll go to either Raw or SmackDown potentially, because with Charlotte and Becky gone, and the potential that now Kairi Sane might be leaving, that's a rumor, they will need people to backfill.
But before the show ended, Dakota Kai attacked Io Shirai with a running boot, laying her out to end the show.
So it looks like Dakota might be getting the next shot.
Looks like it to me.
Okay, Brent, but what if Tegan goes up and challenges Oscar or Bayley?
Could happen.
It could entirely happen.
We'll have to see.
We will have to see. So we'll stay tuned for this week, because it should be exciting. But anyway, we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week, and we are going to be talking about Extreme Rules, the horror show, and we'll be breaking that down for you and doing Pick'em on the matches, so you don't want to miss that. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram. Instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide... From sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night's
event.
CB Radio. Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
Ladies and gentlemen,
TNA superstar EC3 Unbeaten World Heavyweight Champion, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you happen to have a Twitch Prime sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can follow the channel for free with Twitch Prime. You can also subscribe the normal way if you don't have it, or you don't have a sub available, or you can just follow and hang out. It's up to you. Everybody's welcome. And if you're in a following mood and you'd like to follow my channel, it's twitch.tv/LensWard. Same as my Twitter. Hopefully someday I will be able to stream again. I don't know when. Whenever I call Comcast and they actually fix my this stuff. But till then, I can't stream. Sorry. So anyway, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I
a person spending time on my space until the spammers ended up taking over my place. And I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So apparently they auctioned off Luke Skywalker's pants, and Reverend Maddie tweeted, "It costs $36,100 to get in Mark Hamill's pants. Now you know." Mark Hamill replies, "I'm not sure I like the way you phrase that." I mean, it's not a lie. Maisie Williams, "What if you could upgrade 5 terrible guns for a purple or golden gun? A little treat for all the passive players who avoid confrontation by any means necessary." And it's a picture of her Fortnite game. She's playing as Guff, by the way. And she has all green ARs in her inventory.
I mean, green ARs are okay.
Better than gray.
Hey, Brent, we found dynamite earlier.
We did. Cypher PK responds, "Great suggestion. Time to make a video about it."
As he was.
And finally, Kathy Kelly, "I think my computer is broken. Does anyone have Henry Cavill's number?" I mean, I'm just saying, if NZXT or any other computer company needs a computer spokesperson, that's your man right there. Go get him. Please go get him. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there is a video of Henry Cavill building his own like gaming PC, because I don't think he streams, but his own gaming PC, and he filmed himself doing it, and it got out on Twitter. And it's not sexy at all, but it's set to porn music, essentially, and Isaac Hayes and everything else. So it is unintentionally sexy. Man knew what he was doing when he put that together. And it's amazing. I strongly encourage you to go find it if you have not seen it, if you're into that kind of thing. If nothing else, it's hilarious. That's all I have.
Apparently, I forgot about these a few weeks ago. Caleb Braxton, "If you're a parent, please don't ask me if I would like to hold your baby. I can assure you neither myself nor the baby will enjoy it. Thanks." Caleb Braxton, "You ever set up your coffee on the roof of your car and then drive off and forget you put it up there?" Yeah, did that tonight.
That's unfortunate.
With my laptop. That's worse. Rob Schomberger, HGTV pitch, "Designers come into the houses featured on other remodeling shows from 15, 20 years ago that now look dated and fix them up again." I mean, that's not a bad idea. Then they redo their own work?
I guess they do. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Cypher PK, "What weighs more, a pound of feathers or a pound of bricks?" Dr. Lupo, "A pound of Tim's head." Tim the Tatman, that is. Ninja Tweets, "If you're a young gamer and want to make it in the streaming pro world, just put the time hashtag time in and you can get there. In every pro scene, younger players always are eventually picked up picked up for being insane, and naturally you'll gain an audience size viewers if you stream as well. Cloaksy, that's why I put the time in to farm enough money to revive Tim when he loses the gulag."
Is that what started the whole "I challenge anybody to find me losing a gulag" from Tim?
Tim, that's why I put the hashtag time in to the gulag so I can be the king of it. Anyway, Johnny Gargano, "Hey The Rock, do they make Project Rock gear for puppies? Someone feels left out." The Rock, "We do not. But we do make Kevin Hart size, so that may fit. I'm going to get the FU text from him when he sees this. Enjoy the gear." Kevin Hart, "Fuck off. I'm sick of your shit. As soon as we get out of this pandemic, I'm headed your way to give you a bag full of, quote unquote, fuck you up. It's on. Ass Whooping Central is headed your way. P.S. Kiss the kids for me, big fellas. Miss you guys. Tweet of the week."
I love their relationship.
It's the best.
So much.
It's the best.
So good. All right. So now we are going to talk about Extreme Rules, the horror show, which is really just the Wyatt Swamp fight and the other bullshit.
No, it's the horror show at Extreme Rules. Get it right.
I'm not going to get it right because I don't like the name. I'm going to ask this question because I asked this question at the top of the show. Why are we doing a horror show in July? Why is this a thing? It is too damn hot for this level of shenanigans. But anyway, we're doing it on Sunday. If it has not been done in some parts already. Which I believe it has.
Or will be. Only on the WWE Network.
I want outtakes. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I actually hope that's a thing someday when all this is over in our very distant past. is that WWE, in their infinite wisdom, releases like all the outtakes and the fuck ups from the span of time that they've been at the PC, and they've had to do the cinematics, and they've had to do the pre-tapes, and like everything else, and just all the shenanigans from that.
There's a behind the scenes coming from the greatest match ever.
Perfect.
Tomorrow, I think, on the network.
I really would love to see that, just to see how like this is all happening, but because you know there's like mess ups and there's everything else, mm-hmm. So I would just love to see that. So, all right, up first for the brand new, beautiful, redesigned U.S. Championship, we have Apollo Crews, your champion, taking on MVP, the man who brought the title and has been walking around with it and parading around with it.
We're trying to make MVP. A thing still as a wrestler. He's getting title matches on a pay-per-view in 2020. I mean, that's a thing nowadays, I guess. I don't know. I'm not stoked about this match. It's probably going to be one of the, I would say, shorter matches, because I don't think MVP can go extremely long. I don't know. This one I'm not looking forward to.
I'm so like conflicted on MVP, because MVP kind of ended his first run in WWE in not the best way. He just kind of got cast aside and was underutilized, and as I recall, and just kind of got shuffled out the door. Either his contract expired or he got released. I don't remember which. But he just kind of got like pushed off to the side. So now in 2020, with everything that's going on, he's back in the company. He's a producer in the company. He's there. They're using him to the best of their advantage this time. I don't know if I want MVP to win the title, because I like him much more in a manager role than I do in a wrestler role.
Really surprised this wasn't Lashley and Crews.
I'm a little surprised too. Like, I don't mind MVP wrestling at all, and I have no right to say whether I mind or I don't mind, but I'm okay with it. I don't know if I'm okay with him winning the title, especially from someone like Apollo Crews, who has waited so long for this opportunity since being in NXT. Like, they had him in NXT, and he was doing okay down there, and then they brought him up onto Raw or SmackDown, whichever one he came up to first, and then he has done, like, sweet fuck all since then.
He came to Raw, went to SmackDown, and back to Raw.
Yeah, so he's been just shuffled around. He's been on the back burner. They haven't really done a lot with him. He's so ridiculously talented. They should be. And now he gets the opportunity to carry the U.S. title. He's getting a big push with MVP and Bobby. I don't want MVP to win. I'm sorry, I don't. I really don't. I want Apollo to keep the title. I feel like Apollo should keep the title. Like, I'm fine with MVP being a manager and him backing up Apollo and Lashley. That's fine. There's no issue there, but like, and even him continuing to build his stable, because I actually really like the concept of what he's doing, but him being a title holder, especially with him being a producer, it feels a little self-serving, even though it's not under his control at all. Like, I'm sure he's not the one pushing for it, but it just doesn't feel right with me. I'm not saying it's not deserved, because he would absolutely deserve it. It just doesn't sit right that you would take the title off of someone like Apollo Crews, who's waited, I mean, waited for this, and put it on someone like MVP.
So you're going Apollo Crews?
I'm going Apollo Crews.
I'm going to go Apollo Crews as well. I don't think MVP needs a title at this stage. I don't. He really doesn't. So I'm going Apollo. You go Apollo. 8-ball will Apollo Crews retain on Sunday? I look not so good. Magical Wheel of Fun. Who will win this Sunday on the WWE Network? Apollo Crews or MVP?
Wrestler 1.
Wrestler 1 means Apollo Crews.
So it's split 50-50 between the inanimate objects.
Yep.
Alrighty. So your SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line as Bayley Dolce-Belts takes on Nikki Cross for the championship. I don't know what this match is going to be, but it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Nikki's been really good lately. She's really come into her own in the last 6 to 8 weeks. The lack of crowd environment has been great for her. She's been able to be fun and weird and everything Nikki Cross. Bayley's been on a run. She's Bayley 3 brands.
Bayley has really come into her own. She's really come into the character. She's much more comfortable now than she was a year ago doing this.
Bayley might need a break, but she doesn't need a break because, let's be real, they're not working that hard. Like, let's be real, no one needs a break because they're working
Bailey's working three brands because they need Bailey to work three brands, and they're all shooting in the same location over the same series of days. So it's very easy for her to go to all the events. I'm not saying that the wrestling isn't taxing or the promos or whatever she's doing isn't taxing, but right now,
2 days on, 10 days off.
Basically, Bailey and Sasha are being positioned to carry, along with Asuka and Io Shirai, carry the women's division across all the brands and really pick up where Charlotte and Becky have left off and can kind of continue that torch and continue to go forward, especially really Asuka and Bailey and Sasha more so than Io. But still, they're positioning Io right there as well to carry NXT. So I don't think right now is Nikki's time. I think there's going to be shenanigans in this. Sasha's getting involved. Alexa's getting involved. I don't see Nikki winning. I see Bailey retaining. It'll be fun as hell, but I just don't see Nikki winning. As much as I would love to see Nikki Cross win the title, that would be phenomenal to watch that reaction. I don't think she's going to.
Bailey will retain the title on Sunday. Because she's being positioned as the top star. She is carrying the division, as Lindsay said. So, yeah, I'm going Bailey. You're going Bailey. 8-Ball, will Bailey retain on Sunday? 8-Ball says no. Magical Wheel. Oh, fun. Well, who's going to win? The champion Bailey or the challenger Nikki Cross?
Wrestler 2.
Nikki Cross.
All right. Very interesting picks there.
Oh, yeah. What's next?
So I'm going to skip over what's next in the sheet because I want to talk about that one.
No, that's why I put it here. I couldn't sort of break it up.
Okay.
Let's talk about it.
So WWE in horror show fashion. Actually, before I talk about this, because it is titled The Horror Show at Extreme Rules, whatever the fuck it's called, I'm a little disappointed that the other remaining matches on the show do not have some type of horror stipulation to some degree. And there may be stuff going on during the show, but the fact that pretty much every other match on the show is going to be calm and normal, and then you're going to have these two very strange, almost out of place matches on this show, I'm going to have to see how all this works. But I'm a little disappointed they just didn't take the theme and run with it and just make this all completely messed up.
But what has been cool, has been the posters they've been putting out.
Yeah, that has been cool.
But let's get to it. Eye for an eye. Rey Mysterio, Seth Rollins.
All right. So WWE is doing their own version on this match where the stipulation is that the only way to win is to literally gouge your opponent's eyeball out. Okay. I think this match has just confused everybody because we're all sitting here like, how is that going to work? Especially on, like, say if it's Seth or if it's somebody else involved them in the match, because, you know, there's going to be shenanigans. There's going to be a crap ton of shenanigans in this. Everybody involved in this feud is going to be getting involved in this. That's just the facts. So anybody not wearing a mask, so everybody but Rey, it's going to be very interesting to see if they apply that to anybody else, how that works. And then there's Rey. So this is being presumed as Rey's farewell retirement match, even though there's no indication it's actually that, but they've already blinded him in one eye, blinded in quotations. They could easily do it in the other eye and get away with it. That being said, and I've been saying this for weeks, I'm going to say it right now. If I don't see somebody brandishing a fake eyeball in their hand by the time this is over, I'm going to be very upset with this match, and it's going to be a complete and utter waste. They are in bed with Tom Savini. I'm fairly sure he could make that happen. I'm sure the man makes eyeballs all the time. And if he doesn't do it, he has people who do it. That's all I'm saying. Fake eyeball, complete with nerves and whatever else connects to your eyeball. That's all I'm saying. I expect there to be blood, and I expect there to be an eyeball. And shenanigans. So many shenanigans. All the shenanigans.
But the question is, who loses the eyeball?
I'm going to have to say Rey. It just makes sense. It's the only logical conclusion. I don't see how you're going to have Seth lose the eyeball. And while somebody else in the match losing an eyeball could also happen, on, you know, basically somebody outside of the match loses an eyeball, in quotations, you have multiple gougings, that doesn't end the match. And it's going to be extremely difficult because from there on in, somebody's going to have to wear an eye patch and you're going to have to wrestle with an eye patch. You know, it makes sense that if you're going to do it to Ray, you're going to do it. You do it to Ray because supposedly he's no longer under contract. Supposedly he's retiring. There's all these rumors surrounding him. It's an easy out, I guess. I don't know, though, but I'm going to have to say Ray. What about you?
It's tough because on one hand, I want to see Seth Rollins with one eye just to see him portray the character with one eye. On the other hand, as we all have seen, Rey Mysterio is on his way out, supposedly. I don't know how, I don't know how long you do it for, Matt, with him portraying a character, but I want to see his take on it, you mean? I want to see that take, because it's something different. You want to see, like, when you watch an actor, you want to see them adapt to new roles and see how they handle them. So watching Seth Rollins try to adapt with one eye would be an interesting take on his character. But at the same time, him taking someone's eye would be, you know...
Well, I mean, technically he's already done it.
But he's not physically taking an eye. But physically taking an eye and him carrying around... Imagine Seth Rollins now carrying around Rey Mysterio's eye in a jar. It's a symbolic trophy of what he did to end Rey Mysterio's life in WWE.
And him in wrestling.
In wrestling. He holds the man's eye. You don't see that anywhere. No one carries an eyeball in a jar.
Bray Wyatt hasn't even gone on that level. I'm just saying.
Seth Rollins could hold a man's eye in a jar and carry it around.
Which would be weird.
It would be
cool.
Weird. But if you're going to the lengths of getting something created, you might as well go all in.
If you're gonna take Seth in that direction, go full commitment, especially now. Because here's the thing. They have such a unique environment. They're not going back out on the road, it seems like, anytime soon. Take advantage of your environment and do stuff like that. Have Seth parade around with an eyeball, you know, and really take advantage, especially since the shows are pre-taped. Like, that's the thing is, there's so many possibilities to this of what they could do, because they can stop and start the match. They can really set this up to be something, honestly, horrific if they want it to be, and they can make the after effects of it just as horrific. I mean, that's what it's like. This match has so much promise, but it's like, how the hell are they going to do this? And I think that's what makes it intriguing is just, it's like, you're going to do what? How does that even work? I guess we'll find out.
Who wins?
Seth.
Yeah, I'm going to go Seth Rollins as well. It tells the better story, Seth Rollins winning. 8-Ball, who loses? Does Seth Rollins beat Rey Mysterio and take his eye on Sunday? 8-Ball says yes. Wheel of Fun, what do you say?
Wrestler 1.
Going Seth Rollins. No, going Rey Mysterio based on the card we have. It's going Rey Mysterio.
All right,
so next is the Raw Women's Championship. Asuka versus Sasha Banks.
That's not on the sheet.
Read your Skype. Well, yeah, for once.
No, I will not.
Asuka, Sasha, Raw Women's Championship. Thoughts?
I mean, one, this will be good as hell, so we all win.
It's going to be really good. This will be match of the night, I think. In-ring match of the night is going to be Asuka and Sasha.
I don't know who to pick. Asuka's been on such a roll, and she's been on such a run, and she's done wonderful things with that title. But I feel like if the rumors are true, I don't know if they're going to have her have the title when she faces Kairi Sane. Excuse me, or if they're just going to have those two fight. Like, there's a rumor going around Kairi Sane is leaving WWE, and they did a little promo backstage where Kairi wanted to face Asuka.
That was on Raw Talk, yeah.
Which would potentially be an indicator that Asuka is going to send Kairi on her way. Sasha wants her own title. She wants to be Sasha Two Belts, just like Bayley has two titles, right? That's what she wants. But she also wants the SmackDown Women's Championship, and they have been steadily teasing and setting it up for a while now, where Sasha is eyeing up that SmackDown title. She went for Io. She didn't succeed. She's going for Asuka. I don't think she's going to succeed. I think what they're doing is they are setting up Sasha and Bayley, where Sasha eventually turns on Bayley and goes for her title.
It's coming. Eventually. But I don't want them to do it now. As much as we want the match and how awesome the match will be, because we all remember what happened 5 years ago, 4 years ago, whenever those matches were, since we're still setting up the 5-year anniversary of the Women's Evolution right now. So it would have been about 5 years ago that Bayley and Sasha had those classic matches. I don't know if we pull that trigger, because the act of them together is finally really clicking.
I feel like if they're going to do it, they set it up for either SummerSlam or Survivor Series. I think they're trying to hold that out for as long as they possibly can, because I think that's one of the things that they want to go in front of a crowd.
Because it would be amazing in front of a crowd. And that's...
I don't know if they can get it to Mania, Matt. They would have to do a lot more to get it to Mania.
They would have to do a lot to get it to Mania, but it's like, it feels like, okay, SummerSlam's coming up in a month from now. I don't think I'm ready to pull that trigger yet. I don't know.
I think you need to have Sasha try and fail, and that frustration continues to build. And meanwhile, you have Bayley getting more and more complicit, and she lets that guard down, and Sasha sees her start to do that, and Sasha realizes that she is prime for the picking. And if she wants a title, she's going to go for Bayley, and you need to have her do that over a month, 6 weeks, something like that, get past SummerSlam, because you can set up the turn, and you can start to do the turn really, really, really slowly, where it's a slow burn kind of thing, where they kind of go through a series of losses, and they have some trouble, or they have some problems, and they start to have a little rift, and then they kind of get back together, but, you know, Sasha's like right there waiting. And that's what she's been doing ever since she and Bayley hooked back up, is that story that they've been telling, is Sasha's keeping Bayley right by her, and it's making sure that title stays with Bayley, because Sasha knows she can beat her best friend. She's done it plenty of times. So if she wants that title, all she's got to do is wait for Bayley to, you know, basically let her guard down, and then she can take it.
I'm going Asuka retains.
I'm
going
to say Asuka retains. I don't think Sasha gets it here.
8-Ball, does Asuka retain on Sunday? 8-Ball says don't count on it. Magical Wheel of Fun, what do you say?
Wrestler 2.
Which is Sasha Banks.
Okay. All right. Next up, you have the WWE Championship on the line as Drew McIntyre takes on Dolph Ziggler.
Okay. Dolph gets to choose the stipulation. He'd be an idiot to choose any other stipulation than the following I'm going to tell you all. The stipulation that Dolph Ziggler should choose is that Drew McIntyre cannot get off his back. Because, you know, if he can't get off his back, he can't pin Dolph. At all.
He's so he just has to lay there?
He just has to lay on his back. He has to stay on his back the entire time. I mean, that's if, you know, there's no
That would be terrible, though.
But it's, if Dolph wants to win, Get Drew has to lay down for him. That's the stipulation. I'm not saying it's great. I'm just saying, logically, you get your challenger on it, your champion on his back, you pin on 1, 2, 3. I mean, that's the perfect stipulation. Simple and easy.
I guess.
But they're not going to do that. They're not going to do anything. They're going to do something we haven't seen before is what Dolph is claiming. There are rumors it could be TLC, but I don't think it's going to be TLC, and that would be, I don't know.
No, that wouldn't be very good.
No. I don't know what you choose for this match. It just, I don't know.
All
I know
is Drew fight with Claymores? I don't know.
I don't know. All I know is Drew McIntyre's winning.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre will retain. It's not going to be Dolph. As much as we love Dolph, they use the old adage, always the bridesmaid, never the bride, for Dolph. They're going to have Drew hold on to that title now for as long as they can, especially since Brock is not going to come back anytime soon. So, yeah, Drew retains.
Magic 8-Ball, will Drew McIntyre retain? You may rely on it. Magical Wheel of Fun, what do you say?
Wrestler 1.
Which is Drew McIntyre.
There you go.
All right, let's get into it. Our main event.
We tank. Okay. So, we have not seen SmackDown yet. We do not have the go-home for this match, but challenging Braun Strowman in a non-title match, Vegas, you have Bray Wyatt, the Swamp Slut, a.k.a. the Cult Leader, not the Fiend, not Funhouse Bray.
As you see on the screen, I pull out a really old picture because that's what the gimmick is, Bray Wyatt.
Bray's going to get his win back here. For sure. What this match is going to be, I don't think anybody has any idea. I don't know whether to expect like an actual fight, like what they did with the New Day the last time they kind of did a swamp match, or if it's going to be more on the level of the Firefly Funhouse experience. I think it's going to be a mix.
It's probably be more Boneyard than anything.
Because I feel like Bray is going to psychologically screw with Braun on multiple levels. This is, again, where you can use Bray to his best advantage, and you can mix the physical with the psychological, and you can tell a really, really good story. And you can have Bray just use his words, use his voice, use every advantage that he has against Braun. It's not just a physical toe-to-toe like it was the last time. Now we're going to Bray's house, and now he's going to mess with Braun, and he's going to get his win, so help him. Like, he's gone to the extent of resurrecting the dead, in quotations, and bringing back the old persona to do it. I expect infinite levels of shenanigans in this. I expect this to be completely fucked up in every respect, but in a good way. In a great way, actually. And if I don't see, what is it, the lizard men, the reptile men who took over the compound? If I don't see one of those walking around in the background as just a reference, I will be disappointed. I would like to point out that this match is being booked by Bray. He is involved in this. Apparently heavily involved in this. He was involved in the Mania match. We all know how that went. Okay? It's Bray, it's Hunter, and I think it's Hayes.
No, Borash.
Borash. I'm sorry, it's Borash. That are booking this, and they're filming this, and they're doing this. This is going to be messed up. I don't even know what to expect. And I love that.
Yeah, that's the best part about it. We don't know what's coming.
But what are your thoughts?
I'm excited just for the shenanigans that will happen, the weirdness, and it's all set up for Bray to get a win and then unleash a fiend. Bray gets his win on Braun, but the fiend is missing something, a championship. The fiend will come for his championship following this. There's not much to say about it because you don't know what this is. It's just going to be a cinematic piece of content. What it is, we'll judge it Sunday. I just think Bray's going over.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think he's going over too. I don't see him not winning this, because if he doesn't win, it's done, right? It's completely done, unless the Swamp Slut just can't get it done and the Fiend's got to finish it, which could happen,
it could,
by the way.
It could.
The Fiend shows up and takes out Braun Strowman for the Swamp Slut, and he gets the win. Because it's just Bray Wyatt, right?
Just plain old Bray Wyatt.
And we could have the multiple personalities of Bray. So we could have Funhouse Bray, we could have Swamp Slut Bray, we could have the Fiend, the puppets. Abigail could become a real person. I'm sure we'll see references to the family. I very much doubt Eric Rowan or Luke Harper. Definitely not Luke Harper.
Definitely not Luke Harper. Mr. Brody is not going to be on this thing.
But references to Eric and Braun.
Hey, they can have other family members there.
No. He doesn't count.
The one that has voices in his head.
He's not a part of the family.
He burned down
the compound. You know what? Everything went to hell when he showed up. Everything. I'm just saying. Tell me I'm wrong.
It's not a lie.
He was a bad, bad thing for the family.
But I saw a graphic the other night that said Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton.
It was a lie.
But it was on television. I saw it.
It was a lie. It wasn't real. It was a lie. Anyway, no, he won't be there. I don't think. I don't know why he would be. But yeah, this, I know I keep saying it, but I just don't even know what to expect.
And that's in wrestling, that's good.
That's wonderful. That's fantastic. I'm so, like, nervously excited for this. Like, I just really want to see it. Kind of like what it was for Mania, because it's like this is either going to go really, really good, or this is going to go really, really bad. And I think because they have the time to put this together and really think about it and really do some cool things with it, it's going to be very, very good, because you have all the right people involved in this.
You have creative minds in play, and when creative minds are in play, good things happen.
Great things happen. So I say Bray Wyatt gets his win.
I say Bray Wyatt gets his win. 8-Ball, does Braun Strowman get his win? 8-Ball says Bray Wyatt. Magical Wheel of Fun, what do you say?
Wrestler 1.
Which on our sheet is Braun Strowman.
The wheel is a hoe. It doesn't know anything. It lies. How dare it?
That's Extreme Rules.
And I think that's our show. What do you think?
That is, in fact, our show.
So, all right, you have stuff to plug. Excuse me, so plug away.
Saturday Night Midnight-ish. The R rated goes G on CB Radio. CBRadioLive.com. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. The most G-rated debate we've ever done. Oh, yeah. Saturday Night Midnight-ish. Wrestle Talk Radio will be live following Extreme Rules on Sunday to recap it all. Monday night's a Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to talk all things Extreme Rules. Direct Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The Rock Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. wherever you get your podcasts from. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting the purple rectangular button right below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner when you buy Black Manta, the villain in Aquaman. Get your Aquaman skins now.
And you can birth your own shirtless variant of Aquaman. It's wonderful. It's a very gratifying experience.
You just need to buy the battle pass. Use code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad.
And do the Aquaman challenges. And if you do the Aquaman challenges, you will get Aquaman, which you can turn into topless Aquaman.
With no nipples.
With no nipples, which is really weird. I would very much like to ask Epic Games why their characters have no nipples.
It's too sexual for people.
Everybody has nipples. It's a thing.
Too sexual.
It's not too sexual. Men have nipples. They walk around with them out all the time.
Too sexual for a kid's game.
It's not.
Anyway, go.
Anyway, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, LNSWRD. You can follow my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Lins Ward, same as my Twitter. And, you know, if you want to follow this channel, if you want to subscribe to this channel, that would be cool too. Also, please check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So we are going to take a quick break. So everybody grab something to drink, grab a snack, grab whatever you need. And when we come back, we are going to be doing Fortnite with Friends with topless Aquaman. Because yes, chat, that is a thing. With no nipples. So anyway, until then, you've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you in a bit. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.